Welcome back to Monday's Topical Currents. I'm Bonnie Berman. Joseph Cooper is recovering from his serious back injury. He's doing much better, and he does appreciate your warm wishes. Well, today we begin a new series on Topical Currents, All in a Day's Work. This series was conceived of and is produced by Peter J. Meritz. One important note about these programs is that we're looking at a day in the life of all kinds of workers that we know are out there, but generally take for granted and really don't think about too much. So our aim is to get insights into these jobs and what it takes to perform them. We're focusing on these individuals and their commitment to their occupations and our workforce. But we're not here to discuss the political, social, or economic ramifications of these jobs. We do want to hear from you. We welcome your questions, but not your opinions about the organizations for whom they work. So you're welcome to voice those comments on our website or Facebook page. So today joining us is Miami-Dade Transit bus driver Franklin Brown. Welcome, and thanks so much for initiating our new series.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Well, we just discovered before we went on the air that you're a listener to WLRN. So my first question is, are you allowed to listen while you drive your bus?
No listening, no electronic devices, anything of that sort.
Okay. Well, there, that answers that. Now, what about your schedule? Did you have to change your schedule to be with us today?
Well, actually, today is my day off, and I was really happy about coming to do an interview. Anything I can say to give some insight as to what my job is like.
Yeah. When you say it's your day off, do you only have one day off a week?
Actually, we have 2 days off. It depends on what schedule we pick. And we pick according to seniority. We also choose our routes, the time of day, those sorts of things when we do choose, you know, our schedules.
So you are allowed to choose your own route and your own schedule. Are you allowed to choose if you get those fancy new buses, the, what are they called?
The hybrids.
Well, the hybrids.
And the articulators.
Articulator, yes.
Yeah. You can choose certain routes that may have those buses on the routes, like the bus that I actually drive now is the 150. It runs from the airport, Miami International, over to South Beach. So that bus usually has a 9100 series, which is a hybrid bus, and it has luggage racks on the inside.
Oh, okay, because it's coming from the airport.
Right.
Okay. So, and have you been doing that route? Not for 18 years. So you've been driving a bus for 18 years, but not that route.
No, that route I've been doing it about close to 2 years now. Before that, I was driving a different bus route every day.
Oh, why is that?
It's sort of like a driver that waits to see if anyone doesn't show up for work. We call it a board operator. If you have someone that's not coming in today, then you would be assigned that route, but you just have to wait around and see what comes your way. Just luck of the draw, really.
Oh, so you did that because you wanted to do that?
Yes, and you can also choose to do that. If you decide to do that instead of doing a route, you have that choice as well.
So before we get into the basics, you know, the aspects and details, what's the most fulfilling aspect of this occupation for you?
The most fulfilling aspect is serving the public. You get to meet different people every day. It's just fulfilling to be able to interact. And you have to have a lot of appreciation for the variation of different cultures here. Mm-hmm. That's, to me, that's very fulfilling, being able to serve in that way. Other than that, being able to help the elderly, disabled, that also is pretty gratifying to me as well.
I was wondering about that. I will get to that more about the passengers, but when there is a disabled, when you do encounter a disabled passenger, do you actually help them yourself, or is it the bus goes down, the bus kneels? How does that work?
Okay. Usually what happens is you pull up to the bus stop. If there seems to be a disabled person there, you would ask them. But we do make all stops, just to clarify that. We are supposed to make all stops. When we pull up, if you see maybe a disabled person there, you can ask them if your announcement, we have an automatic announcement on the outside of the bus. If it's not working, then we would ask, do do you need, say the person's in a wheelchair or maybe has a walker, do you need this particular bus? If they said yes, then you would kneel the bus, extend, we have a ramp. We extend the ramp and the person then comes onto the bus, either if it's a powered wheelchair or a manual, where they would basically wheel themselves onto the bus. There are sections in front of the bus that are reserved for disabled passengers and elderly. So there are folding seats that which come up, and we strapped, once they're in position, we strap them in and ask them if they want their seatbelt adjusted or do they want the seatbelt at all. And then from that point on, we bring the ramp back in, and we're on continuing route.
I'm going to get back to that because it, you know, it made me think about how that might delay the bus, you know, if you have several people that are disabled that are coming in. But I was going to ask you what you did prior to becoming a bus driver.
Prior to becoming a bus driver, I was, well, I'm a college, former college student. I took political science. I feel bad about saying this, but I'm only about 20-something credits short of being, having a bachelor's in political science, which one day I think I'll go ahead and complete and maybe go into law school, but for now, I'm enjoying the job.
Okay.
Next, I was a iron worker for a while. I also worked for Super Shuttle, which is the airport service I think you're familiar with.
Right.
And also, I've had a music studio at one point, and after that, led me into the buses.
Boy, you don't look that old. You've done an awful lot in this 18 years driving. So would you say that you're a people person?
I would say I'm a people person.
And do you think it helps your job? I mean, would you say that is a good thing to be if you're going to drive a bus?
Yeah, it really does help. You have to appreciate being around new cultures. Just basically, you like to, if you like contact with people, then I guess that's what it's all about.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So let's begin with your training a little. How long did you train? And do you train on an actual bus or a simulator?
We train on an actual bus. The training is 10 weeks. And just to be clear, the training continues throughout your career.
It does. I was going to ask you that.
Every few months or so, you're updated. And they make you aware of the new rules and there are issues that are going on that they can see that need to be addressed. They bring that up in class. But the training was 10 weeks. And at the time, it was extremely rigorous. I imagine it's even worse now.
Why?
Yeah, because, you know, we just have so many more obstacles to avoid nowadays than from the time when I first started.
Obstacles meaning traffic problems?
Well, you have bicycles more on the road now.
Right.
You also have skateboarders. More traffic than when I first started back in 96.
Yeah.
You have more passengers because that is also an issue. We have more passengers with about the same service that we had back in 96. And which means now that people stand on the bus more often.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be really much more careful because you also have cars that cut you off all the time. So those things now are much more prevalent than they were back in 96 when I started. So
even getting cut off is much more prevalent?
Yeah. The traffic, I'd like to say I don't know what's going on with the drivers nowadays because it seems that they're a lot more, well, put it this way, no one wants to be behind the bus.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they always try to, like, I guess, get out before you come out, right?
Yeah, or even turn across the front of the bus.
And
I don't know if you can picture a scenario where maybe a old lady has just gotten out of her seat a little early, approaching the stop, and someone just cuts across the front of the bus. You know, when we're driving our cars, I don't really think that we think about that kind of stuff. All we know is just, I don't want to be behind the bus, and I'm running late.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
And the law is that we do have to yield to buses. Is that right?
That is correct.
So when you put your signal on to come out, we're supposed to stop.
Yes, you're supposed to...
And let you go.
Yeah, yield to the bus and let them come out at the stop or just back into traffic. And I think a lot of people are just not aware of that, so I'm glad you did bring up that point. I think it's going to help us quite a bit to have that out in the air now.
When you say you're having more people standing, do you have those things like you do on subways to hold on to on a bus?
We do have hanging rails.
Hanging rails, okay.
And they do have straps on them as well, but for the most part, all buses have the hanging rails.
But as you're saying, if an elderly person was getting up to get off the bus and a car cut them off and they could go flying.
They could.
Have you ever had that happen?
No, I've not had it happen, but we've seen that kind of stuff happen in training videos.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to take a break, but before we do, you were talking about the training. Just what surprised you the most about driving a bus when you were doing the training, like that big wheel or?
Yeah, that was, you know, driving the bus for the first time felt like you were driving your house around. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's no exaggeration. I really did feel that way. But the training that the instructors have given us, I can still hear it in the back of my mind today. We had one particular instructor, he would leave his cup of coffee on the dashboard and tell you, I love coffee, you know, and I'd like to enjoy this one.
Oh, my. So you mean you couldn't stop the bus short?
No.
And I want to ask you about that, too, in the breaks. But we're going to take a short break. We're All in a Day's Work is this series that we're just initiating on WLRN. We're speaking with Miami-Dade Transit bus driver Franklin Brown. And by the way, if you have a question for Franklin, our number is 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576. Any questions you've ever wanted to ask a bus driver and don't get the opportunity because you're in your car, let's take our break and we'll be right back.
Jackie Gleason.
This way there, Alice.
Oh, hi, Ed.
Where's Ralph?
He's not home yet.
A little late tonight, Eddie.
Oh, well, I guess maybe he just stopped off, you know, some of the boys for a little celebration.
Celebration for what?
Oh, didn't you see Ralph last night? Oh, well, you know that suggestion box they got down at the bus depot?
Yeah.
Well, Ralph put a suggestion in there, and the company liked it very much. They gave him a $10 prize for it.
Hey, boy, I'm telling you, I always knew that boy had executive ability. What was the suggestion, anyway?
Well, you know how the traffic gets sort of congested on Madison Avenue, and, oh, maybe four or five buses pull up to the same corner at the same time?
Yeah.
Well, Ralph suggested they bring in a traffic expert to work the problem out. So they hired one this morning.
Boy, oh, boy. I'm telling you, Alice, you could be pretty proud of that husband of yours. I'm telling you, he's going to go far at that bus company. You know why? Because his heart and soul is in his work. That's why. All he thinks about is buses. He eats, drinks, and sleeps buses. He's even built like one.
Oh, hiya, Ralph.
Hey there, Ralphie boy. Put it there in that pile. Congratulations on that. Alice has just told me the good news there about the suggestion you made down there at the company. Boy, I'm telling you, another boy, that was a pretty smart idea of yours, bringing in a traffic expert. Well, they didn't need an expert. I could have told them what the trouble was. Just too many buses on Madison Avenue, that's all. But that traffic expert, you know what he'll probably do? Take some of the buses off the line and just lay off some of the bus drivers. Of course, that'll be pretty rough on the bus drivers that are laid off. But at a time like this, you've got to think of yourself, Ralph. I mean, think of how much better off you and the other drivers will be that are working. What's a good word, buddy boy?
I was the first to go.
Oh, Ralph. You mean you were fired?
Oh, no, I wasn't fired. I was just temporarily laid off with 9 other drivers. How about that? How could they do that to me? Me, who has worked and drove a bus for that company for 15 years. 15 years driving a bus. aggravation, 101 aggravations every day. Driving a bus in the summertime, dying from the heat. In the wintertime, freezing from the cold. All kinds of weather. Through the rain, the snow, and the sleet. You know that sign they have in the post office? The mail gets through no matter what kind of weather. You know why? Because the mailman rides with me.
And, of course, we know who that was, the most famous bus driver, Ralph Cramden, Jackie Gleason, Audrey Meadows, and Art Carney. And any ring any bells for you? What about the driving through the sleet and the snow? We don't have that part. What about the heat in the summer?
Yeah, a lot of that did ring some memories, bring up some memories for me.
Let me just say, before you say what they are, that we're speaking with Franklin Brown. It's All in a Day's Work. It's our new series on WLRN, going in some of the more unseen occupations. And Franklin Brown's been a Miami-Dade Transit bus driver for the last 18 years, and we're here with him on today's Topical Current. So go ahead, Franklin.
Yeah, we have a lot of issues during the holidays as far as traffic is concerned. That is something that I think needs to be addressed.
How do you deal with that? I mean, when you're in gridlock, and I imagine you're coming from the airport to Miami Beach, what hours do you do that route?
Let me run you through my work day.
Okay, yeah, okay. Let's do a typical day.
Yeah. So
is there a typical day?
For the most part.
Okay, all
yeah,
right,
for
go
the
on.
Most part.
Okay.
I go into the garage, which is the central terminal. Near the airport. I report at 2:56 p.m. And you notice at the time, everything is very specific when you deal with buses and schedules.
Uh-huh.
My report time is 2:56 p.m. And
how strict is that, by the way?
That is extremely strict. If you're 1 minute late, you're not working for the day, more than likely.
They won't let you drive if you're 1 minute late?
1 minute late.
What if you had traffic? Got to prepare for that.
Yeah, you should know more than anyone else about traffic, so they don't even care about the traffic. They just want you to be on time because everything runs on the schedule. So they call your name three times, Brown 2100, Brown 2100, last call, Brown 2100, and that's it. Your work is handed over to one of the drivers that I mentioned earlier,
right.
The board operator. And that person gets to your route for today.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us more.
Okay, so now you check on with the dispatcher at the desk, and he or she hands you your schedule. And this is all happening 15 minutes before you're supposed to leave the garage. So then you're assigned a bus from another dispatcher that sits beside the one that you just checked on with. You do have to swipe a card as well. Once you receive your schedule and you receive your bus, you go outside and you prep your bus, which is a pretty tedious process. You have to make sure that there are no new scratches. You also want to make sure that everything works on the buses, like the fare meter, the flashers, all that good stuff. You check the tires, all the safety issues. And while you're there checking, there's an actual checklist that you make your initials on to make sure that all these things have been checked. If there's an issue, something minor, then we're allowed to leave. If there's something major, we have to go back to the dispatcher and receive another bus.
When you say you check the tires, I mean you check them for tread, I presume.
We check them for tread, and there's a way to check them for air as well.
Okay, and what if... I mean, you run over something, you get a flat tire, you're not held responsible for that, right?
Well, if you get a flat tire, if you, it depends on what the situation is. We're supposed to avoid as many objects as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if you have a car next to you, then it's inevitable. But you should be able, you should always try to keep a safe speed at all times to avoid objects.
And potholes and
potholes and all that stuff, right?
Okay.
After you do the pre-trip, then you pull out, which I pull out and pull out of the garage. Then you head on over to MIA station. I don't know if you're familiar with the new Metrorail station at at Miami International Airport?
I know there is one. I'm not familiar with it, no.
Okay. Well, it's beautiful. You should go and check
it out. Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah. You go over there, and that's where I start. I go into service at exactly 3:30 p.m. Usually there are a whole bunch of passengers waiting there with luggage from international flights and domestic flights, and you name it, everyone is there. We pick up at 3:30 p.m., and then we head over to the beach via State Road 112, the highway. And we head directly over to Alton, where we arrive at 41st and Alton. We go down to Collins, take that south down to 17th Street. Then we go over to Washington and head south down and to Joe's Stone Crab. There's a stop right in front. So
that's convenient.
Yeah. I said it pretty quickly, but there's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah, well, I know.
Yeah, I mean, there is tons of... you don't have to go on Alton Road. Lucky you.
No, we don't have... We just pass by Alton Road and 41st.
Okay. Yeah.
But there's a ton of stuff going on, even though I mentioned that in just a brief minute, but there's so much going on in between. There's a lot of... Everything is based on safety, you know, so there's a lot going on with on the bus and off the bus during that trip.
From MIA to Joe Stone Crab.
Yeah.
And then what do you do, and we'll get to some of the things that can happen, but when you get to Joe Stone Crab, you drive back to the same place?
We turn around and go back the opposite direction during this, on the same route, yeah.
Okay, so is that a good route, by the way?
For the most part, I like the route, you know. I would consider it a good route for me because it also it works well with my schedule. Any route can be a good route, in my opinion. It's just that what do you like to do as a bus driver? You know, what areas do you like to be in? But there really aren't any bad routes, in my opinion.
So you don't mind all that traffic on Washington Avenue?
It just comes with the job.
And there you have all the people, the pedestrians, and you have the bikers, and you have the skateboarders.
Right. And, you know, we learn to integrate with those hazards, as we call them. But we just have to be more careful. That's it. And you don't ever want to get comfortable while you're driving or think that you've mastered the job of driving, because that's when things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always alert, and you have to be extremely careful down in that area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have lots of questions about passengers and stuff, but before we take our break and before I ask my questions, let's invite Steve, who's on Miami Beach, to talk to Franklin. Hi, Steve.
Hi, hello. Quick question for Franklin. Since he's been doing this for a while, how does he feel about the integration of the very long buses, the one with the accordion extension, and how hard that is to maneuver down the streets? And my second question comment would be, does he feel that in the future, you know, with automation driving, that bus drivers could one day be replaced by automatic drivers?
Ooh.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Okay. Franklin?
Okay. How are you, Steve? The question about the articulated buses, which you call accordion buses, I've driven those before in the past, but some of the older models I've driven before. Those buses are fairly easy to drive. The middle wheel, if you can picture this, if you're able to turn the bus without going onto the curb with the middle wheel, usually the rear wheel follows by computer. So all that stuff is, I guess you can say it's controlled by computer. You don't have to put as much effort as you're thinking into it, but you just have to be aware that there is a second part of the bus that you're expecting to make the same turn.
I want to get to a second question too, but how many wheels does the bus have?
That articulated bus, it actually has, let's see, on the front one side. This is it's actually 10 wheels, I think. Let's see. Yeah, there are 10 wheels total.
So which one has to clear the curb so the rear will follow?
The middle has to clear the curb so the rear will follow. But, you know, that's also, you know, in case it doesn't follow, you also want to use a whole bunch of caution with that as well.
Yeah.
Because computers do fail. And you also want to keep aware in your rear view and watch that rear wheel to make sure that there's not an offset on that.
Yeah, and what happens if the computer fails?
Then we stop.
You just stop?
That's it, yeah.
It's called a breakdown on the bus.
Yes.
And we see with the tow truck coming and everybody has to transfer to another bus.
Right.
And what do you have to do, call a supervisor or?
Usually we call into radio control to let them know that there's an issue with the bus. And they make a determination on how we're going to handle it. Either they'll send a mechanic, or they may just tell you to continue your route if it's a minor issue. It depends on their decision, really.
Okay, so we don't want to forget Steve. Oh, we need to take our break. But Steve's second question, are you going to be replaced?
You know, I'm big on technology, and I do think that that day is coming.
Oh.
Yeah.
I hope they can be safe. And talking about computer failures, what about that?
But they use multiple computers. I think like the Google car, there's been, I think, only one accident since it's been texting in California. And that accident happened because of a human actually hitting the car.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think that's coming. I don't know how soon, but I think so.
All right. Well, won't come before our next break, which is right now on Topical Currents. We'll be right back. And we're back with today's Topical Currents, Bonnie Berman with our new series, All in a Day's Work. And we're initiating our series with Franklin Brown, a Miami-Dade Transit bus driver for the last 18 years. If you want to hop on board and with a question or comment, the number is 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576. We have a couple of emailers, and I was going to get to the passengers now, and, you know, what you do in certain situations. But Mary has a question I'm going to get to first. What kind of security procedures do you have? If I was dressed in a chicken costume or a big padded vest that might be thought to be explosives, what do you do? Do you have security?
We do have some security measures on board. We have cameras. Typical bus has at least six to eight cameras on board.
Is that being videotaped and sent back somewhere?
It's being videotaped. I'm not allowed to talk about too much about what's going on
with
the security, but just it's obvious enough to know that the cameras are on board.
Okay, but you don't have any detectors or anything when you get on?
No, we don't have any detectors. I'm sorry. Just my eyes.
Just your eyes. Okay. Like if you saw someone with a big padded vest. Okay, like Mary asked. So what do you do if you get an unruly passenger? Is there a procedure that you have to follow? Do you have training for that?
There's constant training with dealing with unruly customers. There are a lot of memos on that stuff. Typically, you want to ask yourself, who is the professional here and who's getting paid? Is the irate customer getting paid, or am I getting paid to handle this? We also have bad days, but for the most part, we try to stay as professional as possible. And if it's just a person that's completely out of control, we just send in a call to our central control unit downtown, and they send us a message back whether to continue en route or basically wait there for the police to have the passenger removed.
Okay, so police can come and remove a passenger then?
Yes, most definitely.
What about, maybe this has never happened, but I was thinking, has there ever been an incident of domestic violence on one of your buses?
Not that I can remember particularly, no. There have been a lot of verbal arguments where, you basically want to stay out of it, and you just let them know that you cannot continue en route with those types of distractions going on. So for the most part, we just stay out of it And if it becomes too unruly, then we make a call and just say we can't continue in route like this because it's becoming too much of a distraction for
you
drive.
To drive. Yes. Okay. So I was wondering, have you ever had a baby delivered on one of your buses?
No, but it sounds like it. We have a lot of crying babies. But no, we've never had any babies delivered on, well, as far as my route is concerned,
right.
I've never had any babies delivered.
Okay, let's see. Doug in Fort Lauderdale has a question about passengers. Hi, Doug. Welcome.
Yes, how you doing? You guys are the unsung heroes, by the way.
Thank you.
The other thing is, too, is when people are drunk, and if you see that person is intoxicated, can you stop them before they get onto the bus, or do you have to let them on?
When they're intoxicated to the point where we think that they're going to be there's going to be a safety issue, we can stop them from coming on. Usually what happens is we would basically watch how they're walking or maybe how they're talking, but a lot of times you don't want to confuse that with people that are disabled, because that
right.
that can be easily, you know, taken as a person being drunk. But if you can smell that basically on their breath and it seems like they're going to be unruly, or, you know, it depends on their demeanor as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's basically how I handle it.
Well, can you actually get up out of your seat and then take the person and try to obstruct them from coming on board, or how does that work?
No, we can't do that. We just stay in the seat, and we can only ask you. We're not allowed to get out of our seat at all, our seats at all, to be honest.
Okay, Doug, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So, Franklin, when you do have, like, a lot of bikes getting on, are there more bikes, by the way, these days, not just on the road, but that are taking buses? Do you notice there's an upswing in bike use?
Yeah, there's been a huge upswing in bike use and people bringing bikes on board. By the way, we do have a bicycle rack in front that holds
right.
2 to 3 bicycles at a time. But we've seen that a huge increase in the amount of bikers wanting to ride the bus and then maybe get to a bus stop where there's a little distance to their house. They can just bring it along and then take the ride home on a bicycle.
What do you do, by the way, going back to the Ralph Cramden thing and 4 or 5 buses, what do you do if let's say you have a lot of people, disabled passengers, and a lot of buses on a particular day, does that slow you down and kind of make you delayed on your route, or is that taken into account?
With the disabled passengers? Well, one thing I should let everyone be clear on is the disabled passenger must go. So if it takes a little bit longer, we can only apologize, but according to the ADA and our rules here at Miami-Dade, the disabled passenger must ride,
mm-hmm.
and they take priority over everyone else. And, you know, if it delays us a little bit, well, you know, we'll see if we can make that up safely. But for me, personally, I take great joy in dealing with elderly and disabled passengers, so there's no chance in me leaving anyone behind just because of a schedule or anything like that.
So do you have supervisors that ever ride the buses with you in plain clothes just to check on you and see what kind of job you're doing?
We do.
You do?
Yeah.
Like spot checking. Uh-huh.
Sometimes they may come through the rear door, have a seat, and you don't know. But we consider a supervisor there all the time because we have cameras. And, you know, if a supervisor comes on there, it's basically the same thing that you're doing from a day-to-day basis, because the cameras will basically be able to show the same thing that the supervisor will experience.
Well, you're a human being.
Right.
So with needs and you need accommodations. So let's talk about those a little. How and when do you take your meals? I mean, can you eat with coworkers at an assigned time or place most days, or do you eat alone on the bus?
Yeah, I know that's contrary to popular belief. We don't have anything that's called actual break.
You don't?
We don't.
At any time?
At any time. It's called recovery time.
Okay.
So if we're running late, there's no designated time for us to take a break. Restroom breaks, not necessarily a restroom break, because we're not guaranteed to find a restroom at the end of the line. So if we maybe are needing to use the restroom, we will just put on the side in a bus zone, excuse me, and find the restroom and come back, and we just secure it. Actually, we secure the bus and go use the restroom, come back. It may take us a little bit longer than people want us to.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean.
But we do have to go.
Right.
Yeah. And then another issue is a lot of the restaurants don't want you to use the restroom unless you patronize the restaurant.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Who allows you to?
You develop relationships along the way.
Okay.
You know, for the most part, it's on the driver. But there's no guarantee that, you know, someone is going to let you use the restroom. A lot of times you hear that, no, the restroom is not working, you know, and those kinds of things.
You know
happen.
What that means.
Yeah. Yeah. So we just deal with it as best we can. But there's no break time involved. It's just recovery time. Just so if you get to the end of the line, you're late. That's already accounted for in the schedule.
When you do, when you drop, do your last stop at Joe Stone Crab and you go back to right. the airport, do you get a break before you have to start on the route again?
Well, that break, again, is the recovery time.
Recovery time, okay.
Right, and usually during rush hour, you don't see any recovery time. yeah, because 112, right now, they're doing some construction, and usually we're about maybe 10 minutes to 15 minutes late during rush hour. So that kind of...
That's not too bad.
It's not too bad considering that you probably have 13 minutes to recover. But if you arrive about 15, 17 minutes late, then you're behind 4 minutes leaving the station. And then, of course, you have to load your passengers safely. So,
boy, there's so many, the time things are so strict.
Yeah, there are a lot of variables when it comes to driving the bus. Anything can happen as far as the, you know, things that'll slow you down. And the schedule, we try to do the best we can, but sometimes it's inevitable and things that we just can't control.
We're on Topical Currents. We're all in a day's work, and we're talking to Franklin Brown, who's been a Miami-Dade Transit bus driver for the last 18 years. We're going to take that one more short break, and we'll be back, and we'll get some more questions. Stay with us. Welcome back to today's Topical Currents, all in a day's work. We're visiting with Miami-Dade Transit bus driver for the last 18 years, Franklin Brown. And again, our number, 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576. Al wants to know, he says he takes the bus because he thinks it's safer, and he wants to know about bus safety statistics. Do you know anything like that?
I couldn't answer that question. I'm sorry.
I guess he probably means in a bus versus a car.
Oh, okay. Bus versus car. I can tell you that we've never had any accidents where people have died on board because of an accident with us.
Really?
Yeah, as far as I know.
That's a pretty good statistic. Okay, so let me ask you, what is the greatest challenge for you of actually driving a bus? Is it, it doesn't feel like a house anymore, I presume.
No, and you know, I actually feel much more comfortable in my driving a bus versus my car because of the thousands, tens of thousands of hours that I put in as a driver. So you, like I said before, you just don't want to think that you've mastered it,
right.
But I'm much more comfortable driving the bus than I am with my car.
Really?
Yeah,
do you drive a big car or a truck?
I drive a four-door Jetta.
Which is little.
It feels like a toy after you've been driving a bus.
Like a toy car.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking maybe you took the bus and didn't drive at all.
It's such a distance to
yeah,
do that. Yeah,
I know. Let's talk to Robert in Miami, who has a question for you. Robert, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I had a question for Mr. Franklin. Is he afraid at night? I've seen buses running empty and just the driver, is he afraid at night, like 2 a.m, 1 a.m?
Not for the most part, no. Maybe in the beginning as you're learning the schedule and you know, when you're fresh out of class, are you learning the areas? But for the most part, you feel pretty comfortable in whatever you go, wherever you go. I know some of the rougher areas, some drivers have never even had any experiences as far as like anything happening to them personally.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, no, I feel very comfortable.
Okay, Robert.
Okay. I was just wondering if it looks scary by yourself driving out there.
How late do you drive every day, Franklin?
My route ends at the garage at 12:15 a.m.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you have to be there at 2:56?
2:56.
That's a long shift.
Yeah, it's pretty long. But you know, it's how you handle it.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of us deal with a lot of stress, and I seem to be managing my stress pretty well. I'm working out maybe 6 days a week now. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah.
What is the most stressful part of it?
The traffic, and when I talk about the traffic, I mean people that basically do what I mentioned earlier, like cut off the
cutting
bus,
cutting you off,
and,
right?
That kind of stuff. People that just seem to not have any rules to driving, you know.
Do you have a red light policy? Yes, stop. Do you have a yellow light policy?
That is our policy as well. We're supposed to come to a stop on yellow.
Okay, and what about speed? Do you have the same speed limits as posted?
No. Usually our speed is 5 miles an hour less than what's posted.
So. Okay, and that's the rule.
Exactly.
Is there a speed governor on the bus?
Yes, there is a speed governor. Most buses won't do more than 55 miles an hour. Some of them won't even do more than 50. But that is the speed governor.
Okay, David in Hollywood has a question. Hi, David. David?
Yes?
Go ahead. You're on with Franklin.
Thank you. My question was, has anybody ever attempted to, like, hijack the bus or when you open the door, stick a gun in you and try to rob you?
No, David. I haven't had that experience. And nor have I really heard of anyone that actually have had maybe attempted hijacking or anything like that on one of our buses.
Not even an attempt?
Not even an attempt that I've heard of. You know, there are a lot of things that happen throughout the day, but I've never heard of that.
I have a follow-up question. I'm not aware. I haven't ridden a bus in years, so I don't know. What is the fare like to go from the airport to the South Beach? How would be the fare?
Okay.
Yeah, what is the fare these days? I was going to ask you that.
The fare is very cheap. It's $2.65 each way. And you can also purchase a day pass for $5.65, so you don't have to worry about the fare in case you need to take other buses while you're down there.
And how do you pay the fare? Credit card or?
You can use a credit card at the, we have some vending machines that you use to purchase tickets. We call them the easy ticket. Oh, easy card. You can use your credit card, or you can pay cash to purchase one of those.
Yeah, that was a question. You do take cash, right?
We do take cash right. on board the bus. Yes.
So now that brings my another question: how much money do you think you have on that bus in your possession in cash at any one time?
You
don't want to talk about that, right?
No. Not only can I not talk about it, but I just don't know because we don't have access to even know how much money we've collected.
It goes into that meter thing, right? Down into the kind of.
It goes into the meter, that's correct.
Yeah, so you wouldn't know. And no. They can't get at it. It's not accessible to somebody if they wanted to rob you. They can't get it. It's like a safe you can't open, right?
Right.
Right. Okay, David. Thanks for calling.
I guess you're pretty safe. Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye.
So what would you... Is there anything you would want to tell passengers about riding the bus?
What I would like
while
to say,
you're here,
and I think I can say this on behalf of my fellow bus drivers, we do appreciate our passengers. I think some people really have a bad impression at times of how a bus driver looks at the passengers, but we are here to serve, and we are very proud of what we do. So if there have been any doubts in the past, I'd just like to put them to rest and let you know that we enjoy serving you, and we look forward to serving you as best we can.
And we want to reiterate that the law is that vehicles do have to yield at all times to buses.
Yes, ma'am.
Which make your experience a lot easier.
Yes.
And a lot less stressful.
I'm so glad you put it out there.
Okay, and before we go, because we are almost at the end, do you still enjoy, I guess you do, because you've been saying how much you enjoy it, but how much longer do you intend to be a bus driver?
The job has been good to me. As far as I can go with the, as far as to retirement, I would like to mention one thing. From my experience, stress is so prevalent here, and it's how you manage it, but usually most bus drivers, when they reach retirement age, don't live more than 1 or 2 years after they retire.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a statistic?
Well, from my experience.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I've been around a while and I've lost a lot of friends.
Oh.
It's just an enormous amount of stress that...
That's very sad.
Yeah.
And most of this stress is due to the drivers, the vehicle,
yeah.
of other vehicles.
Yeah.
What about trucks?
Trucks?
Same thing?
We pay extra caution to especially garbage trucks. You know, they're usually backing up and have a lot of other things going on with garbage trucks. But for the most part, larger vehicles, we have to be careful with our mirrors and, you know, who's the bigger object here.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, I mean, we take just as much care or even more.
Does a bus reverse?
It does, but we're not allowed to reverse other than on the lot where we park our buses. And usually if we're backing up, we need assistance from either a police officer or a supervisor on the streets.
And what would you like to say to people who park in bus stops?
Well, you know, when you do that kind of stuff, just consider the elderly and the disabled. Usually they have to step off of the curb. And if there's someone in a wheelchair, they usually can't. They're not able to do that other than going out into the street, which is very unsafe. So don't even consider us. Consider the elderly and disabled before you actually pull into a stop.
Well, I wish we had longer, Franklin. We have more calls. Oh, Christina, you have about a second to do exactly what I was just going to do. Go ahead, Christina.
Oh, I just wanted to say, express my appreciation for Mr. Randall's work, and I love public transportation. I'm a huge fan, and please keep yourself healthy and keep doing the great work that you do, and thank you for supporting our public transportation system in Miami. I ride the bus regularly, so I'm a big fan. I think it's very exciting, and it brings people together in an interesting way that we normally don't get. In our cars. So
thanks Christina,
a lot for what you do.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling.
Yes,
and thank you, Franklin Brown, for being with us today and initiating our series All in a Day's Work. It's really been a pleasure. I learned so much more than I can even tell you about what you do, and I appreciate what you do.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been really our pleasure. That is our program. We thank you for spending your time with us. Our series, All in a Day's Work, is produced by Peter J. Meritz. Our producer is Richard Ives, with technical direction from our online producer, Paul Leary. Free audio archives and downloads at our website, WLRN.org. And more information at our Facebook page, facebook.com/topicalcurrents. Tomorrow's Topical Currents looks at the most popular drug in the United States. It's caffeine. We visit with journalist Murray Carpenter. Bonnie Berman thanking you for joining us, hoping your day is a good one. Yield to buses and stay tuned for Here and Now, up next from NPR News.